It was just a few days ago when we gathered right here on Christmas Eve to celebrate the glorious birth of Jesus Christ our Lord. The church was filled, including many visitors. Some were visiting relatives. Others came because of the sign posted outside. Some heard we had great music. Some came because it was an annual family Christmas tradition. While people came for a variety of reasons, I imagine there were a few at least who, while enjoying the services, were personally quite skeptical about the story itself, thinking this story may not be really so much different than stories about Santa Claus or Frosty the Snowman or the Easter Bunny. I imagine many have a difficult time believing a young virgin girl became pregnant by the Holy Spirit and gave birth to the Son of the Most High God. Others would equally have a hard time imagining real angels and a heavenly host singing Alleluia before a group of raggedy shepherds. Not to mention those kings from the east, the Magi, the astrologers following that so-called star across two countries to find this messianic baby king lying where cattle feed, in a manger. My point is that a skeptic would not be easily convinced to believe by the way this Christmas story is told. So even if we have the greatest choir in the world, the most polished instrumentalist, the most vibrant soloist, the most beautiful chrismon trees, the best delivered sermons, there is a lot about the Christmas story that remains unconvincing to many. But here's the crazy part. And I really hate to admit it, but do you realize the only part of the Christmas story that is completely convincing to everyone, and I mean everyone, from greatest skeptic to truest believer, is the terrible part we just read about in our gospel reading? The part about a mad tyrant named Herod. No one will have difficulty believing that a paranoid dictator would kill all the infants and toddlers in Bethlehem because one of them just might be a threat to his power. That everyone can believe. So while it's hard for some to imagine angelic heavenly hosts singing glory to God in the highest, no one doubts the record of a ruthless dictator slaughtering men, women, and children. We know these men exist. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot, Idi Amin, Saddam Hussein, Bashar al-Assad, Kim Jong-un. We know these men. So when we hear Herod's story, the story of a puppet king set up by the Romans, one who drowned his 16-year-old brother-in-law, murdered his uncle, his aunt, his mother-in-law, several members of his brother-in-law's family, his own two sons, and some 300 officials he accused of siding with his sons. We have no trouble accepting that part of the story. Many dictators, many evil men have done just that. Therefore, when Scripture speaks of the Magi from the east coming to Herod, following a star and looking for the king of the Jews, we can most certainly imagine Herod ordering the death of all infants and toddlers under 2 years old. I recently heard a podcast of several Lutheran seminary professors lamenting that this lesson had come back into our rotation. It wasn't always in the Sunday lectionary cycle. They were lamenting it because it just does not fit very well with all the sweet, touching, sentimental, joyful parts of the Christmas story. It doesn't fit well with these beautiful flowers in the chrismon tree. There's nothing sweet or sentimental to be celebrated here with this text, especially when on this first Sunday after Christmas, we are so trying to keep all the other parts of the Christmas story and spirit alive and going with songs and trees and flowers and wreath and star. But hearing this sad lesson, which we can believe, we can only cry when we think of this terrible cruelty. We cry because we know this kind of cruelty exists today. Whenever a child is abused, or a mass shooter takes the lives of innocent people, or a terrorist bombs, blows up a church or synagogue when people are worshiping. And that's why hearing this gospel, which hardly seems to mean good news today, we can nevertheless feel, along with the parents of those dead children in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. What this underscores, most definitely, is that it is into this real world of sin and sadness and terror and tragedy that God came in Jesus. And it's not pretty. But I tell you this, unless we are able to see in this act of God a Savior who comes into a world where there is so much evil, and who comes to us, for us and for our salvation, in the midst of cruelty and suffering, then everything we celebrate about Christmas is for nothing. Unless we see this, because, see, nothing holds up. Trees dry up. Flowers fade. Candles burn down. Toys break. Disasters happen. People get sick. Loved ones die. Innocent people are murdered. Children starve. And the world looks pretty bleak. So the question is this, especially for the skeptic. Does the birth of Jesus make a difference? Especially when in the face of evil, the story of Christmas can seem just too much, like too much make-believe, too much old fairy tale. I suppose it makes a difference how you hear it. And moreover, what you may have been through in hearing it already, although that's probably no guarantee. But I know there are many people in the world today who, by our standards, lead really terrible, depressing, damaged lives with not enough food, water, clothes, shelter. People who have suffered at the hands of evil people. People with wretched chronic illnesses or who carry the burden of life-affecting trauma with them every day. And yet, among people in these circumstances, we often see some of our most strongest expressions of faith and hope. So how does this happen? I wonder if maybe those who suffer are more open to God. I wonder if God may be more accessible to them because they are so desperately seeking the mystery of God to be revealed in them and for them through the one who will give them hope. The one we say is Jesus Christ our Lord. I can't be sure, of course, but I always marvel Whenever I see strong, vibrant faith coming from those who you would think would have an impossible time believing. So here I wonder, and here I ponder. I wonder if maybe the most complete Christmas story is not the one which climaxes around the manger with the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, and the beautiful baby Jesus. Not the one with the appearance of the happy ending, like that which is so depicted in popular religious art. But rather, the most complete Christmas story may be the other one, the one with the family narrowly escaping to Egypt, seeking refuge from strangers. Maybe the story that finally touches the skeptic most of all is the one where God becomes completely vulnerable, where Jesus and his family narrowly averts an untimely death that would permit evil to triumph. So maybe the most complete Christmas story is not the one which includes dreams of sugar plums dancing in Joseph's head, but rather a desperate angel coming to Joseph in a dream with a nightmare warning, saying, "Get out! Get away! They're coming! If this little Messiah is to save you," the angel says, "you must first save him." Baby Jesus needs to get to the safety of Egypt so that he will in time become like Moses. And when it is time, come out of Egypt according to God's plan. And in time, lead all God's people to the promised land, which is a place of promise and hope, where evil may have its day, but cannot win forever. I don't know if a skeptic will finally be able to trust that or not, especially when there is still a lot of evil, so much evil in the world. It is true that without a doubt, it's far easier to recognize a Herod than either an angel or a baby Messiah lying in a manger. But thankfully, by God's grace, it is not impossible to believe either. Because even when this part of the story is not pretty, it is real. And as terrible as it is, we are reminded that this story of God's love and faithfulness coming into this very real world has withstood the test of time and skepticism and every terrible act that every evil person has ever done to kill hope or destroy our faith. And that's why we continue to gather with joy and confidence and trust on this first Sunday of Christmas. For it is not make-believe that brings us together. Make-believe cannot stand up to real evil. But believe can, because God can. And God did, and God does, for God is, and Jesus is His Son, born on Christmas Day, who died for our sins on Good Friday, and who was raised on Easter Sunday, and who, according to God's intent and plan, has triumphed over evil. So with that becomes the Lord of life. God bless you, and Merry Christmas.